The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. When the hour came, Jesus took his place at table with these apostles and said to them, I have eagerly
desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I shall not eat it again until there is fulfillment in the kingdom of God.
Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and said,
Take this and share it among yourselves, for I tell you that from this time on I shall not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Then he took bread, said blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying,
This is my body, which will be given for you. Do this in memory of me.
And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying,
This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for you. And yet, behold, the hand of one who is to betray me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man indeed goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.
And they began to debate among themselves who among them would do such a deed. Then an argument broke out among them about which one should be regarded as the greatest. He said to them,
The king of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those in authority over them are addressed as benefactors. But among you it shall not be so. Rather, let the greatest among you be as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one seated at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one seated at table? I am among you as the one who serves. It is you who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer a kingdom on you, just as my Father has conferred one on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded to sift you, all of you, like wheat. But I have prayed that your own faith may not fail. And once you have turned back, you must strengthen your brothers.
He said to him,
Lord, I am prepared to go to prison and to die with you.
But he replied,
I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows this day, you will deny three times that you know me.
He said to them,
When I sent you forth without a money bag or a sack, or sandals, were you in need of anything?
No, nothing.
They replied and said to them,
But now one who has a money bag should take it, and likewise a sack, and one who does not have a sword should sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this scripture must be fulfilled in me, namely, he was counted among the wicked, and indeed what is written about me is coming to fulfillment.
Then they said,
Lord, look, there are two swords here.
But he replied,
It is enough.
Then going out, he went, as with his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them,
Pray that you may not undergo the test.
After withdrawing about the stone's throw from them, and kneeling, he prayed, saying,
Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Still not my will, but yours be done.
And it strengthened him. An angel from heaven appeared to him, and he was in such agony that he prayed so feverishly that his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. Then he rose from prayer and returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping from grief. He said to them,
Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not undergo the test.
While he was still speaking, the crowd approached, and in front of was one of the 12, the man named Judas. And he went up to Jesus and kissed him. Jesus said to him,
Judas, you are betraying the Son of Man with a kiss.
His disciples realized what was about to happen, and they asked,
Lord, shall we strike with a sword?
And one of the men struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said in reply,
"Stop, no more of this."
Then he touched the servant's ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and the temple guards and elders who had come for him,
"Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day I was with you in the temple area, and you did not seize me. But this is your hour, the time for the power of darkness."
After arresting him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter was following at a distance. They lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it. And Peter sat down with them. And the maid saw him seated in the light, and she looked intensely at him and said,
"This man too was with him."
But he denied it, saying,
"Woman, I do not know him."
A short while later, someone else saw him and said,
"You too are one of them."
But Peter answered,
"My friend, I am not."
About an hour later, still another insisted,
"Assuredly, this man too was with him, for he also is a Galilean."
But Peter said,
"My friend, I do not know what you are talking about."
Just as he was saying this, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned to and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord and how he said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you may deny me three times." And he went out and began to weep bitterly. The men who held Jesus in custody were ridiculing and beating him, and blindfolded him and questioned him, saying,
"Prophesy, who is it that struck you?"
And they reviled him and saying many other things against him. When the day came, the council of elders and priests met, both chief priests and scribes. They both brought him to the Sanhedrin and said to him,
"If you are the Christ, tell us."
But he replied to them,
"If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question, you will not respond. But from this time on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God."
They all asked,
"Are you then the Son of God?"
And he replied to them,
"You say that I am."
Then they said,
"What further need have we for testimony? We have heard it from his own mouth."
Then the whole assembly of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they brought charges against him, saying,
"We found this man misleading our people. He opposes the payment of taxes to Caesar and maintains that he is the Christ, the King."
Pilate asked him,
"Are you the King of the Jews?"
He said to him in reply,
"You say so."
Pilate then answered the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find this man not guilty."
But they were adamant and said,
"He is inciting the people with his teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee, where he began even to hear."
On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. And upon learning that he was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very glad to see Jesus. He had been wanting to see him for a long time, for he had heard about him. And he had been hoping to see him perform some signs. He questioned him at length, but he gave him no answer. The chief priests and scribes, meanwhile, stood by accusing him of harshly. And Herod and his soldiers treated him contemptuously and mocked him. And after clothing him in resplendent garb, he sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate became friends that very day, and even though they had been enemies formerly. Pilate then summoned the chief priests and rulers of the people and said to them,
"You brought this man to me and accused him of inciting his people to revolt. I have conducted my investigation in your presence and have not found this man guilty of the charges you have brought against him, nor did Herod, for he sent him back to us. So no capital crime has been committed by him. Therefore, I shall have been flogged.
But all together they shouted,
"Away with this man! Release Barabbas to him!"
Now Barabbas had been imprisoned for a rebellion that had taken place in the city and for murder. Again, Pilate addressed them, still wishing to release Jesus, but they continued their shouting,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
Pilate addressed them a third time,
"What evil has this man done? I found him guilty of no capital crime. Therefore, I shall have him flogged and then release him."
With loud shouts, however, they persisted in calling for his crucifixion, and their voices prevailed. The verdict of Pilate was that their demand should be granted. So he released the man who had been imprisoned for the rebellion and murder for whom they asked, and he handed Jesus over to them to deal with as they wished. As they led him away, they took a hold of certain Simon of Cyrenian, who was coming in from the country. And after laying the cross on him, they made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd of people followed Jesus, including many women who mourned and lamented him. Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep instead for yourselves and for your children. Indeed, the days are coming when people will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' At that time, people will say to the mountains, 'Fall upon us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if these things are done when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?"
Now two others, both criminals, were led away with him to be executed. And when they came to a place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on the right and the other on the left. Then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
They divided his garments by casting lots. The people stood by and watched, and the rulers meanwhile sneered at him and said,
"He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one of the Christ, God."
Even the soldiers jeered at him. They approached to offer him wine, and they called out,
"If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself."
Above him was the inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now, one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying,
"Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us."
The other, however, rebuked him and said in reply,
"Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal."
Then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
He replied to him,
"Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. because of an eclipse of the sun. There was a veil of the temple that was torn down the middle. Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Father, into your hands I commend my spirit."
And when he said this, he breathed his last.
Please kneel. Please stand.
The centurion who witnessed that had happened glorified God and said,
"This man is innocent beyond doubt."
When all the people who had gathered for the spectacle saw what had happened, they returned home beating their breasts. But all the acquaintances stood at a distance, including the woman who had been following him from Galilee, and they saw the events. Now there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to the plans of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had been taken down, he wrapped him in linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who came from Galilee with him followed behind. And when they had seen the tomb, and they went in, his body was laid in it. And they remained, and they returned and prepared spices and perfumed oils. Then they rested in the Sabbath according to the commandment, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. By the wounds of Jesus, we are healed. Look at the cross of Jesus. Think of him there calling out to the world, "Father, forgive them." Every wound of Jesus, every wound he received in his passion and death, every wound of Jesus is a message of divine love for the world. Every wound represents the failures of our life and the need we have for mercy. We have been given so many chances to say to Jesus, "I love you too. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for the mercy you give me. Jesus, I love you too." Jesus forgives us, saves us, lifts us out of misery, takes our hand and guides us to safety, and shows us his divine mercy. Jesus says in infinite ways every day, "I love you." But sin too often is our answer. Instead of saying, "Jesus, I love you too," we turn away from God. We choose to ignore him. We abandon Jesus. We disobey his will for our lives. We choose the world below instead of the heaven that is above. We choose to love ourselves alone and forget that Jesus chose to love us on the cross. He chose to say, "Forgive them, Father. They do not know what they are doing." It's an infinite offering of divine mercy. Jesus looks at the Father and says to him, "They are lost. They are still wandering in the desert, looking for food that will perish." We need the cross of Jesus. It is our lamp, the light that guides our way. It shows us to safety, to love, to freedom. We need the cross of Jesus. Look at Jesus on the cross. He is here now. Jesus is here in this place. Now is the time to embrace the divine love of our God. If you are wounded by sin, if you are wounded by others who have sinned against you, if you are wounded by the deceit of the world or by the temptations of daily life, reach for the cross of Jesus, our only hope, our only truth. By the wounds of Jesus, we are healed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.